Ahoy there, mateys! Welcome aboard to the Happy Project ship. I am Captain Becky and First Mate Cedric Skysetti. Next to me, how fare thee, matey?
What are pirates?
Listening to the Happy Project Podcast. Woo, burr, 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 burr.
Insert sound effect.
Hey, Cooks. How's it going?
Great.
Yeah.
How are you?
Well, I was writing in my journal this morning, right? Because I've been trying to do that every morning. And I had written a couple of things like, oh yeah, this is what I'm doing. Ding, 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 ding. And then before I signed it, because I always sign my name, you know, at the end of the journal entry. I'm very old school that way. And I was like, oh, P.S. These are the other things that I need to tell you later. And then I wrote, I was like, the passing of time. That was my first thing. And then after that, I was like, I had nothing. Nothing! And I thought, wow, I have literally nothing to write in my journal. Has nothing happened to me lately? Have I experienced nothing? Has nothing crossed my mind or been interesting enough to note in my journal? And I felt rather stumped and devastated a little bit. And then I thought, how would 12-year-old me be writing in my journal? Because I remember when I was younger, like, I got to tell you this and this and this and this. And then I was like, what would 12-year-old me say? And then I was like, oh, I know what I would write about. I would write about the popped blood vessel in my eye. That would be a noteworthy thing that I would tell my journal. I would write about my avocados, which are not ripening quick enough. That would be something that would have been noteworthy back then. And I was thinking, my goodness. My perspective on life changed so much.
You became an adult.
Yeah, and it made me really sad. So I got to tell my journal later about the popped blood vessel in my eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which happened yesterday.
Yes. Yes. And I am very vampiric these days.
Yeah, if you look closely, if you're watching on YouTube, you could see it.
Well, anyhow… I'm sure that was really exciting and interesting for everybody to listen to. But we have something even more exciting and interesting to discuss on this episode. We received a listener mail, and it was actually, this is one that I've been sitting on for a while. As you can see, we got it all the way back in January. Let me read a bit of this email to kind of give us some context. So we'll just jump right into the middle. So for context, my dad is Korean. My mom is white American. I've lived in a diverse area of California all of my life. I'd say being mixed hasn't really negatively affected my life much. And I've been able to thrive for the most part. I think I really started considering that I was different in my high school Korean class, where people would do things like call me the non-Korean student, refuse to believe me when I said I was half Korean, and even tried to pick out the Korean facial features I have right in front of me. It's worth mentioning that all of this happened less than 3 years ago. So these are young people who have been raised in a diverse and inclusive environment. And the thing is, nothing they said was meant to hurt me. These were just casual things said by them. Given these experiences and Korea's attitude towards mixed Koreans, I find myself wanting to distance myself from every Korean person I encounter, as I figure something like this will happen if I tell them I'm half Korean. The fact that each of them said it without even considering that their actions could be offensive shows me how prevalent and ingrained this attitude is in Korean people and isn't exclusive to the older generation. So I ask, why should I even bother telling people I'm half Korean? Why should I try to fit in with them? I figure even if I do succeed with making one or two Korean friends, the moment one of their Korean friends doesn't like me, then I'm at their mercy and nobody will stick up for me. That happened to my half Korean Hispanic friend at her Korean church. I guess my overall question is, why should I bother identifying with Korean culture and people if I'm always on the fringe? It's not motivating enough for me to want to discover part of myself through cultural exploration. I guess I need more than that. I view culture as something to be used to relate with others. And when I have that door closed on me immediately due to my more white features and mixed background, why should I bother? Sorry for the long email, but I thought it was a question worth asking.
There's so much in that.
There's so much.
So much in that.
Yeah. Well, for one, that is a question worth asking. And as I was alluding to before I read out this email, it is a question that I think a lot of us try not to ask ourselves because it almost feels like, on one hand, it almost feels like a final resort, right? Mm-hmm. I try, I want to, I explore, I attempt, but I'm constantly shut down. So my only option, my last resort, is then to turn my back on you because you turned your back on me.
Right.
Right? And so I find like that kind of asking yourself that question once you've reached that point, it is almost out of kind of a painfulness, you know, like to the yeah. experiences that you've had.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad to think that one would be led to or feel like they would have to close the door on a part of them that's huge, that's, you know, even worth exploring just to understand who you are. And it's obviously no slam against this person that wrote the email because I totally get it. Mm. I 100% get it. But, you know, it's the outside external forces that come into play that would cause someone to make the decision to, you know what, I'm just going to stay in my lane that's, you know, comfortable and I know where I'm accepted. Like that's, you know, in some ways kind of sad, but I understand.
But it's completely understandable.
Right, right. And, you know, I've gone through that in many, I guess, phases of my life. Mm-hmm. Like maybe not to that extent of wanting to close the door to Korean culture. But I've certainly, through my actions, have went through periods of time where I'm like, you know what? I don't need Korean culture right now, especially in my early 20s, I would say. I'm just going to stay in my lane. It's just what I know. It's where I feel like I'm accepted.
Hmm.
But then I've had a turning point where I was sort of reintroduced back into like Korean American culture, I should say. And I was surrounded by Korean Americans and I've had mostly positive experiences, but I've had a couple of those like, you know, I guess ignorant type experiences where someone would say something to me as a half Korean and they're full Korean. But for the most part, I'm glad that happened because that reignited a spark in me to want to explore Korean culture a little bit more, to want to understand the language better, to understand that side of me better.
Hmm.
Not that I felt like I needed to justify me being part mm-hmm. of this community, not at all, because everyone in this community had different levels of Koreanness, if that makes sense, because mm-hmm. they're all Korean American. So there's a spectrum that I've discovered of people who were Korean American, were proud of being that. Or I should say this, they were on one end of the spectrum where they're Korean American, but they're sort of ashamed of that Korean side, right? And they just stick with a different type of people group and just identify with that more specifically. And then the other side of the spectrum are people who are like very Korean, even in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's everyone in between. So I feel like I fell somewhere in between. But yeah, I wouldn't have gotten to that point had I not been reintroduced into that sort of community again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems almost like an underlining question that wasn't asked here. And maybe I'm over extrapolating, but what I kind of hear is the reward of exploring my Korean culture and background, right? The reward of exploring that is at too high of a cost of mm-hmm. constant rejection. And kind of, I guess like to put it into perspective with myself, when I decided to come study in Korea for university, when I decided to live here and work in a Korean company and totally immerse myself in Korean culture and society, sort of as diving into, okay, I'm going to explore and learn what it means to be Korean and learn what that means to me and how I am part of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
What was the cost that I had to suffer in order to reach where I am today, so many years later? And in reality, when I look back at my own journey of moving here and self-exploration and all of these things of Korean culture and identity, the cost was quite high. Now, mm-hmm. you know, now that I look back at it, how many I did lose friends when I realized how they viewed me was not what I thought they would view me as, Korean friends, let's say. Relationships that when I realized the truth of why they wanted to be around me or why they wanted to date me, then it was just, it's like very painful encounter after one after the other, mm-hmm. right? Working in the Korean office and just realizing how society views me and even daily interactions. And the pain of that rejection on a regular basis is a great cost. And I feel like it's almost asking a fear, that cost is, it's too great for me. That cost is too high. This suffering of rejection is too much for me to bear. in order to reach the reward of exploring what it means to be Korean, of exploring what this Korean side of me is.
Right.
How do you respond to something like that? Now that I've gone through so much.
Yeah, and I am going through.
And you are going through. And you have gone through so much. Mm-hmm. I can say personally, in retrospect, yeah, the cost is worth it. Because I kind of… I'm more firm on my two feet. And I'm more assured in who I am. And what people then say to me doesn't quite batter me around at such a, you know, so fiercely. Because I can hold my own now. But I understand that, yeah, the cost is… It can feel very great,
mm-hmm.
right? The sense of rejection that you can feel repeatedly is an awfully tiring and frightening and painful thing to encounter. And I think a lot of people, especially mixed Koreans who are trying to explore this side of them, will come face to face with this kind of rejections repeatedly, whether these people mean it or not.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's at the end of the day, like, every person is different in how they respond to situations like this, right? So this is just our perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
We can't tell you how you should feel. Like, we don't have a right to do that. But, you know, a couple of things to think about is, one, I've noticed, like, in the email, like, this particular person within a certain context, right? And, I guess I'm assuming in California, like in the Korean class, like the Korean people that were there, he had a bad experience with them,
mm-hmm.
right? They were pointing out his features and they always had to single out, mm-hmm. which again, and we talk about this all the time. Like, we're always like, us living in Korea, we go through that.
Mm-hmm.
We're always, you know, when someone asks, what country are you from? That's in a sense pointing out our features because we're different.
Yeah.
You know? And so we feel like, oh, we're reminded we're not really part of what it means to be Korean here,
mm-hmm,
in the
mm-hmm.
eyes of Korean people, right? But just a couple of things to think about. I think we can go this route, just throwing out a couple of things and maybe this will help you to process. But like, I have been in certain contexts with Korean people in America and even in Korea where my otherness wasn't an issue.
Mm.
Like, people accepted me and embraced me. That, you know, once they find out that I'm half Korean, because they never know in the beginning, like, some of them were really cool. Like, I could think back, especially when I was a little bit more social before the pandemic here in Korea, like my first year and a half, especially, I've had different Korean friends, especially when I was living in Daejeon, where we would hang out and they knew I was wanting to get better at Korean, but they never pointed out the fact that I was different. They never made me feel different.
Mm-mm-mm.
And so I could say the same thing about America too, in certain communities. Like, I have my closest friends. Yeah, they know I'm half Korean. And sometimes it's a joke here and there. Like, you know, we can… I'll throw out my half Korean card and things like that. But for the most part, they accept me as part of just the community.
Mm-hmm.
And not an issue there. But then there are times where there are people who tend to single, like, that fact out. But most of the time, it's never with ill intent.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't feel good. Because again, it is a reminder. Hey,
mm-hmm.
I'm different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they look at me differently. There are, you know, scenarios like that. So why am I bringing this up? Because it really depends on where you are. And it seems like this person had a bad experience in the context of the Korean school where they were. And maybe it was a certain mindset that was shared within them there, like the Korean people there. You know, fair enough. But just to give you another point to think about, there are, you know, certain people, like, not all Korean people think the same,
mm-hmm.
you know, even in Korea. And some people will embrace you and, you know, maybe the first interaction is, oh, you're half Korean. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times Korean people will be very open to helping you get acquainted with the culture even more, especially if you're trying to explore that. A lot of people will, again, I go back to my friends in Korea, especially my first year, they were very open to just, you know, hanging out with me, helping me. And you will find people like that. But sometimes you have to go through those bad experiences, those bad apples, to find the good apples in the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So that is just something to think about, that though it's as valid as your experience was in the Korean school, it doesn't mean that would necessarily be the same experience everywhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because here in the email does say how prevalent and ingrained this attitude is in Korean people isn't exclusive to the older generation. On one hand, it is true. It is ingrained and it is very prevalent, right? And then on the other hand, and I think I've alluded to this in a previous podcast somewhere. It has to do with the on the individual basis, say the Korean person, their individual basis of how much they dictate their actions and the way they navigate interactions with people based on the societal expectations and the cultural bounds versus how they view you as an individual and as a person,
mm-hmm.
right? So this Korean person, if they're acting very strongly by the cultural bounds, oh, you're not Korean. Oh, you don't speak Korean. Oh, you obviously don't look Korean. Therefore, I don't treat you as Korean versus person who views you on a more individual human basis. Oh, right. You say you're half Korean, your mom's Korean, that's cool. Hey, right. I'm Korean too. We have ways to connect. And it varies person by person.
Mm-hmm.
So while we can say it is quite prevalent in Korean society and in community, that is absolutely true. But is this every Korean person? No. And I mean, we can say that about so many things, right? Am I able to look at you on a human level or am I making a judgment based on how I view you and what I expect you to be based on your outside appearance?
Right.
We're all guilty of doing that at some point or another. And the thing I do want to additionally add here, saying they would point out my Korean facial features. They would refuse to believe me that I'm half Korean. They would be shocked, right? Or people, this happens to us all the time. Oh my gosh, you're half Korean? I never would have thought you're half Korean. You don't even look Korean at all.
Right.
That statement in itself is not an offensive statement, pointing out someone's physical features. It always has to do with the intent behind it. Now, what my experience of cultural exploration and establishing myself and my identity has not eliminated those kind of comments. It has not eliminated those kind of interactions with people saying, wow, I never would have guessed you're half Korean. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you speak Korean so well. You don't even look half Korean. It has not eliminated those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But what it has given me by doing all this exploration and working hard at establishing my cultural identity has made me understand where they're coming from, has given me more self-confident to respond to this kind of comments, and has given more confidence in myself to be like, that is just a statement. Bing, it bounces off of me because right. I have built up myself and my cultural identity.
Right. That's a good point, because you would have never gotten to that point of understanding and empathy and just sort of reasoning, oh, this is why this is happening, if you hadn't made the decision to explore deeper. Because
mm-hmm.
you could have easily just at the very beginning say, you know what, I keep getting this, I'm not going to even bother. Let me just stay in this lane right here. And you would have missed out on all the potential opportunity that you've experienced in the past 9 years here in Korea. And even before you came to Korea, I'm sure, right? So, and either path you would have taken, I could understand, right? But you've chosen a path where you had to forge through some of those like negative experiences and even comments, but you literally just gotten so much, I guess, good out of it. Like mm-hmm. the good outweighs the bad, at least I'm assuming. I don't want to put words in your mouth, mm-hmm. but based off of what I know in our conversations, I think you probably don't regret your decision to explore.
No, I do not regret it. The thing is, those comments are going to come anyway. So the other thing to remember is, people are going to say that to me anyway. People are going to comment that anyway. I cannot hide from Korean people my whole life because the fact remains I have that connection. And my mom's Korean and she's got mm-hmm. Korean friends. And she's going to have friends who have kids who are Korean. And we're going to see each other and we're going to meet each other and our worlds are going to collide. And inevitably, I will hear those comments. Inevitably, we will have those interactions. You cannot control the way someone else views you. What you can control is how you take those comments. Do you take them to heart?
Mm-hmm.
Do you hold on to that? Does that become part of how you establish your identity? Do you take those negative comments and those negative feelings and build on top of that? You're right. I am an outsider. You're right. I am an alien. You're right. I'll never be Korean. Do you use those comments to bolster up your identity? Or do you build your cultural identity and your sense of self in such a way that when you hear those comments, you can hear it? All right. I get what you're saying. But you know what? It's not true. You know what? I get what you're saying. I understand it's not offensive. And in fact, it doesn't bother me. Have you reached that point? Because the fact remains is those comments will happen. It is just a fact of life that people will make these kind of judgments on you. Again, I think it would be a little bit different if people are actively going out and trying to hurt your feelings and really trying to tear you down. But in this case, and I would say in most cases, it isn't that, right? So it's just a matter of what can I do to build myself up. So when I go into these inevitable situations, how am I going to respond? That is what you can control.
Right. It's a very crucial part of your character building. And not only that, but just building up your sense of identity and just how you view the world and view people. Like, I think it's good practice. And I haven't mastered this, like, but it's good practice to be able to know how to respond, whether it's physically respond, not like throwing punches, but like physically responding with maybe your words or responding just inside of yourself, knowing like, if I face this situation, this is how I would see it, or this is how I would respond. Yes, it sucks, but you know, I'm gonna, I guess in my mind, be the bigger person, right? Mm-hmm. Because I understand contextually why this is happening. It sucks, but I understand. Like, I think it's a good way to sort of build that up. And it's not easy. I deal with this, you know, in the last couple of podcast episodes, we sort of, you know, I kind of laid it all out on the table. Like, I deal with this now, even living in Korea. But I could easily just take the more, I'm just jaded route and just like, I'm going to leave Korea. And you know what? I've tried it. I gave it my best effort and I'm done. I'm just going to go back to America and be American, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not doing that. Because I think I have a little bit more knowledge through exploring the history, the culture, and actually living here and then interacting with people, actual Korean people. Mm-hmm. I have a better understanding and sense, so I can respond accordingly or feel accordingly. Now, my feelings are still valid, at least in my opinion, of maybe getting offended here and there or just feeling like, oh, I'm being singled out as different again. But at the end of the day, I'm happy that I've been able to experience this and to meet the people that I've met. Now, in the context of America, I was just thinking, I was thinking of the couple of instances that I remember, and I won't go into detail, but there were people in my circle, let's just say, Korean people, Korean American, who weren't used to being around half Koreans, at least like older half Koreans. I think they're probably more used to being around like half Korean, like little kids, you know, but I guess they just didn't grow up around half Koreans. And so I remember this one particular individual would here and there point out, oh, but you don't look Korean, you know, they know that I'm half Korean, but you don't look Korean. Mm-hmm. So this person, like, it's very, like, it was always jarring whenever they would say that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this person was like one of the nicest and most giving individuals and has really helped me and has just brought me into their home.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of times, just even in their mind, like, and they don't mean offense by that, but it's just like, oh, you don't look Korean. Because they're probably not thinking, oh, how would Cedric feel in this scenario?
Sure.
They're just thinking on face level, like, oh, he just doesn't look Korean, which is true.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's the fact. Yeah, it is a true statement.
Right.
Doesn't have to be offensive.
Right. So to the person that wrote this email, like, I can identify and relate to you in that because that's literally like pointing out, I guess, a general features that, you know, is different. So, but had I let that offend me, I would not have progressed in my relationship with this person to the point where, like, I feel like they were a pivotal part of my life for a couple of years and, you know, even their family and everything like that. And so I just sort of had to just, I don't know, take the jab. Not a punch. It's just a jab. I'm like, you know what? Let me just contextualize it and just continue on. And, you know, I do have the choice of just sort of speaking out, hey, you know, this makes me feel this way when you say this. The onus is on me to do that. I haven't done that because I felt like it just, at the time, just wasn't worth me saying that. But I could do that and see where the relationship goes from that point, seeing how they respond. So that is another option. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, had I just let that offense just turn me away, I would have missed a great opportunity for just one of the most, I guess, influential or, like, I want to say, like, impactful relationships in that season of my life, had I just walked away from it because I was offended. Now, if I would have walked away from it because of that, I understand. I'm not saying if you do or you walk away from it, you're horrible, you're sensitive, you're a punk or anything like that.
Right.
Like, I'm just laying out different options and trying to go from my experiences in an effort to encourage that every situation is different and you just never know. Sometimes you have to just go through and find out you know that the road ahead might be a little rocky here and there with people coming in and saying things, but the journey or the end of the journey might be well worth it when you look back.
Sure. Yeah.
Or it could be the opposite. I don't want to make any false promises.
Yeah, right.
So every situation is different.
Sure.
And my situation and Becky's situation has proven to turn out to be positive overall.
Yeah.
Up to this point.
Yeah. 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 The other thing too is like let's say, I guess we'll stick specifically, of course, to Korean culture and identifying with the Korean community and what that means to be Korean. This is a question that we grapple with quite often. What does it mean to be Korean? How much Koreanness do I have to prove in order to be part of this group that we call Korean, right? Am I required to look a certain way? Am I required to act a certain way? Do I have to dress a certain way? Do I have to have this number of family members who are Korean? Do I have to speak a certain level of fluency of Korean? What can I mark off on this list that will then give me high enough points to be part of Korean community, right? And the problem is there is no level of points that you can rack up to be Korean or not Korean, okay? Mm-hmm. Because the spectrum of Korean culture is incredibly varied and incredibly wide. At this moment, if we look primarily only in Korea, Korean culture in Korea is different than Korean culture in the US. It is different than Korean culture in some European countries. It is different than Korean culture that you will see in Central Asia and post-Soviet Union countries, because the spectrum is so incredibly wide and nuanced and varied. And when we only experience, this is what Korean culture is and this is what it must be and therefore I have to fit into it. And when I don't, oh, I am not Korean. So why do I even bother? I think it can give us, I think it is almost giving a discredit to how flexible and wide and diverse Korean culture in itself can be. And the people who call themselves, I have Korean blood and Korean heritage, may not look what you would expect to be Korean to look like. Knowing myself going over to Uzbekistan and seeing a lot of the Goryeo's harem there, right now I can separate when I see someone who's from Korea and someone who's from Uzbekistan who's Korean, I can see a stark difference. It has to do with attitude and the way they hold themselves, even before anybody speaks a different language. Maybe Korean Uzbeks are not even speaking Korean, but yet they still call themselves Korean, right? Goryeo saram. So this diversity of Korean culture, I think, should be more of an encouragement to recognize there's a lot more to explore. The thing is, I guess we keep pushing, to be honest. We keep pushing, keep exploring, keep, like, with this channel is really a lot about that, and to really encourage people who are mixed Korean, who have not found a place to ask these questions and explore Korean identity because they face so much rejection in some cases. And we are here to be like, guys, we've been there. We've done that. We're doing that. And we believe in the value of accepting yourself as mixed Korean. And what might that look like? Let's explore it together, right? So we're kind of here to encourage that. So the ultimate response is we do encourage it. However, all of this we fully understand. One thing I want to ask in return, person who has written this email, do you come to the conclusion, why do I bother? Because you are fully and 100% happy with associating as a white individual in your diverse community. As a white person with, okay, yeah, white American, that's my culture, that's my people. And I'm totally 100% happy to be here because I feel fully myself. Or do you come to this conclusion because there is too much rejection and hurt in trying to explore Korean side, therefore I will just reject it. And then it's still there. It's like a cut off limb on your body. It's present. It's bleeding. But you just ignore it because it's too hard to address it. So if you are really 100% happy, like, you know what? I forego being Korean. Forget Korean culture and history and heritage. Forget that side of me. I don't need you anymore. And it's out of pain you've reached that conclusion. Then I think it requires a little bit more consideration. But if it is simply because I'm actually really fully 100% happy with myself and who I am without this Korean heritage inside, that's a different thing. But when I read this email, I feel like it's come to conclusion out of hurt and fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my final thing that I want to say as an encouragement, and this is just my opinion, is I would say just I don't know, continue to pursue understanding and learning Korean culture. Why? Because it is you and no one can take that away from you.
Yeah.
Your father is Korean, right? And assuming that you grew up around them, around both of your parents, or, you know, at least you have some familiarity with the Korean culture, like that is part of who you are. So I would say just continue to strive to learn more, because I think right now at your age, I can't believe I'm saying this, but because I'm assuming you're in your early 20s based off of this email. But when I was your age, like almost 20 years ago.
Oh, you don't be dramatic.
Okay, 15 okay, years ago.
You don't need to round up or anything.
15 years ago, I was sort of in a very similar space of like, you know what, let me just, you know, I wasn't actively trying to shut out Korean culture, but I was also like, I've kind of stepped out of that bubble of the Korean church bubble. And I just sort of for years just, you know, did my own thing and I wasn't really around a lot of Korean people. But, and I was okay, I guess, at the time. But then I realized something was missing and I really wanted to not neglect that side and just learning more about the Korean side, because that is part of who I am. And also that is part, that is fully who my mother was and is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like I didn't want to grow older and having neglected that side of who I am and not being able to really appreciate and understand my mom. And in your case, maybe your father. Right. I think I would have rather have tried my best to just understand this part of me. And I can claim it. I don't care what any Korean person says. Oh, you're not really Korean. I don't care what they say. At the end of the day, I am.
They can't take that from you.
They can't take it.
Yeah.
And they can only take it if you give it. So I would just say and encourage, you know, keep pushing. Yeah, you're going to get hurt. But that's with any social relationship. I've had many friends and stuff like that, or relationships that have gone bad. They're not Korean for one reason or another. So it's just part of the journey of relationships. And I know this is more personal because this is who you are. This is your culture and identity, but just do it. That's what I would say. Just do it. Don't give up just yet.
Mm.
And I think your 15-year-old older self, when you're in my age, would probably be happy that you made that decision.
One thing, if we're going to talk about timelines here, right? In your 20s or 30s or whatever, or 40 as you're pretending you are.
I'm almost there.
So you have to understand too, like this exploration of identity. And the way I like to view identity is kind of filling it out a bit. Not as in there's all these empty spaces and who you are and you're trying to fill it up with something.
Mm-hmm.
But you're expanding. So as a child, your sense of identity might just be locked up in who my mom and dad is and what my favorite toy is. And then it grows out, oh, I grew these hobbies and I made these new friends. Oh, I'm older now and I look at myself in the mirror and I see, oh, I have some self-awareness via how I look, via how someone else looks. And then it grows and grows and grows. And your identity is constantly growing, right? Unless you choose to not constantly grow and explore more about who you are and what you're capable of. And the timeline just looks different for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at this part, maybe you are here in California and you're attending this school and you have this community of people that you interact with. And at that point, you see the limitations of the exploration of identity. You know what? I give it up. I don't want to explore here anymore. I'm done. But I think it is totally valid to just lay it down for the time being.
Sure.
I don't want to think about this.
Sure, sure.
That's totally valid. But the fact remains, it is still part of you. Whether you want to close that door and lock it or just temporarily close that door. Because you might eventually go somewhere else or meet someone else or encounter a book, a movie, something that opens your mind for a second that's like, hello, that door exists back there. And now you have a chance to look into it. So I think closing that door because of fear of rejection and pain and then locking it and saying, this is not who I am anymore. I don't care. I would say it's totally valid to just close that door for the time being. And then later on in life, maybe you will feel a little bit stronger in yourself and be like, I can now explore this. Or you will meet somebody who's Korean and is like, oh, let me teach you about Korean culture. It's cool. We're both Korean. You never know. So making decisions out of fear and pain never end well, in my experience.
That was very
Did
well
I blow
put.
Your 44-year-old mind?
44?
You're the one who keeps rounding up.
That's not
I'm
even rounding up.
Adding a little bit to you.
Look, I'm about to turn 37, so just for context. So that's close to 40.
So this is, hey, that's encouragement. Now you are like a real proper hyung for a lot of people out there.
I am.
Yeah.
And I say to you who wrote this email, stay encouraged.
We're here. And I would also say that, I know I keep adding like, this is my last statement, but this is my last statement. That maybe prior to Halfway Project existence, I think there hasn't really been a space for a lot of mixed Koreans to come together and ask these kind of questions. So undoubtedly, you are not the only one who has asked this of themselves. And you're probably not the only one who has closed that door. You know what? I'm not Korean. Forget it. I've faced too much rejection. You're not alone in that. And some of those people later on in life, 50s, 60s years old, has decided to open that door one more time and decide to talk about it now that we have communities like Halfway Project and places and people to ask. So we'd like to say thank you for writing in, and you're not alone in this. And I don't think this is the end for you. But in the end, of course, you make your own decisions. But this is purely our point of view and our encouragement to you.
Yeah, we're here for you. And feel free to write to us again. Update us on where you are or what you decide to do. And, you know, we support you either way.
Yes. Great. I think we'll end it here then, right?
Sounds good.
Thanks for that listener mail. And anybody else who wants to write in, whether you have questions, something you're grappling with, you just want to ask us something, you are free to write in at any time at thehalfwayproject@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We are The Halfway Project.